This is the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, as always, Dr. Andy Johnson. Topic of today's podcast is called Belief Systems. Now, each of us has a vast network of belief systems that act as a sort of template to help us interpret and organize new information and experiences. Included in this belief system is what we think is true in regards to the nature of reality. And as we encounter new data, we use this network to interpret, analyze, and organize this data. Now, our belief systems also act as filters to eliminate data that does not correlate with our constructs. In this sense, our belief systems, our beliefs, can limit our perceptions and keep us trapped in our current ways of thinking. This podcast describes three different levels of belief systems, each successively harder to access and more resistant to change. Level one is knowledge. Level one contains our knowledge constructs. These are that which is addressed in traditional education. Change here occurs through assimilation and accommodation and is relatively easy and data friendly. Assimilation occurs when current schemata or mental constructs are used to interpret and process new data or experiences. When these constructs are found to be inadequate, accommodation is used to revise or rebuild new ones. At this level, there is little resistance to new data as long as they support level two beliefs. Let's look at level two belief systems, personal and cultural paradigms. Included here might be our philosophical views, our cultural and religious views, and our deeper assumptions about the purposes of individuals, institutions, and society. All of these are used to help us interpret the world we experience and to prioritize our resources. Now, we don't address these beliefs directly in our educational system. However, they are clearly expressed in the kinds of things that are valued, the allocation of resources, curriculums, and the type of information that's presented to students, the type of data that are measured and reported in what we call assessment, the accomplishments that are rewarded, the hierarchical structures and the amount of empowerment given to teachers and students, and educational models and philosophies. Now, change at this level is resisted. However, when it takes place, it begins with a state of dissynchrony. This is a perceived difference between the ideal and real states. Here, one receives new data in the form of experiences or insights, only to discover that these data do not correspond with existing personal and cultural paradigms. To continue to receive this data while maintaining old structures creates disequilibrium and internal disorder or cognitive dissonance. For growth of any kind, there must be disintegration of the old belief systems so that the new ones can be built to accommodate the new data. The time between structures is the time of disequilibrium, often resulting in anxiety or depression. This resembles Dabrowski's theory of positive disintegration, which states that advanced development of any kind requires a breakdown or a disintegration of existing psychological structures in order to form higher, more evolved structures. Level three is our metaphysical paradigms. This is our basic paradynamic structures related to the nature of reality or our metaphysical perspective. These include our fundamental assumptions about both the phenomenal reality of space, time, and matter, as well as the transphenomenal or the transcendental reality described by mystics and shamans, prophets, poets, and quantum physicists. Contained here also are our most essential religious or spiritual beliefs. One's metaphysical perspective greatly impacts the type of data that's perceived and processed, and it's extremely resistant to change. When change does occur at this level, it brings about a whole new way of seeing or visioning the world. In many cultural traditions, people engage in a vision quest in order to have such a change. If successful, the quest causes them to revise or revision their world, to see again, revision. Now, this revision seldom happens instantaneously. Instead, it's a process that occurs after a series of successive stages, which include preparation, incubation, insight, and verification. And these are also the steps described in the Wallace model of creativity, a process similar to that of enlightenment. This movement from one perceived reality to another is similar to the shamanic death experience. A shaman is one who is able to transcend the human condition and move freely between dimensions, realities, or states of consciousness for the purpose of bringing back wisdom, insight, or healing. A shamanistic state is usually preceded by a death experience in the form of great sickness, trauma, or by an initiatory experience created by tribal elders. These experiences serve to break traditional perceptions of our reality or our assumptions about reality and dissolve the existing personality structures so that a new one might be birthed. So our beliefs about belief systems. We all like to think that we are objective, rational beings who come to conclusions based solely on data. However, as we move higher in levels of belief systems and deeper at each level, our beliefs become increasingly data resistant. And at these higher levels, our view of reality is more apt to define what is relevant and determine which data gets processed. Finally, the levels of beliefs described here illustrate why what follows may be difficult for many. In the next podcast, I examine the deepest level 3 belief systems related to the nature of reality, which are most resistant to change. I would, however, encourage an objective examination of these ideas with the goal of expanding what you might consider to be possibilities. In order to see things as they really are, one must be free of subjective perceptions. This reflects the Buddhist idea of the empty cup, where one perceives reality apart from preconceived ideas, emotions, experiences, and expectations in order to separate what is from one's ego state. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, Dr. Andy Johnson.